like a copy of God's Word, which of course is found alone in the Bible. It is freely offered to you this afternoon, yours to take free of charge and without cost or obligation to you yourself. It is the entire New Testament and offered freely. Word of God is a place, of course, where we must needs start. We can talk, of course, about God, but that would be kind of like a wax nose, you know. What do we mean by God? Do we mean the God of Islam, of Buddhism, of Hinduism? No, we don't. We begin with the Bible, which is, of course, God's revelation of Himself, and of course the revelation of what it is that He requires of us. Without the Bible, you cannot come to a knowledge of God in His love and grace. Oh, you can and do know that God is, that He exists. All men do, the Bible says. God says it's manifest in you that He exists. So we all know that God is, but knowing Him intimately, knowing Him in terms of relationship, love and grace, well, that takes the Bible, that takes the Word of God. And so we offer it to you, as I say, freely, without cost or without obligation to you. Yours to take and read and do with as you will. But perhaps maybe with our prayers and your meditating upon God's Word, who knows, but perhaps God would smile upon you and bring you to a knowledge of Himself in grace and love. The Bible deals with, well, a whole host of matters, but there are some matters that philosophers, well, from day one, I guess, have been peering into, questioning, examining. And the Bible deals with that too. One of its authors, a man by the name of Paul, who was an apostle and one of the main authors, if not the primary author, in the New Testament of the Bible, speaking to and addressing philosophers on one occasion. And he speaks to them concerning the unknown God, to which, of course, there was a monument in Athens, in Greece, at that time. And Paul, he instructs and he tells these philosophically minded people that it is indeed in God that we live, move, and have our being. Because these are the three items, the three issues to which philosophers have always been peering into, examining, and of course coming to, well, very often, mostly if not, to the wrong conclusions. But God tells them, this unknown God, and of course, an unknown God, I suppose, to most people in Hanley today. Or maybe perhaps you subscribe to the notion that there is a God. Maybe perhaps you would say, yes, I believe that there is one God. But who is this God? What is He? And what is it that He requires of you? Well, you see, the Bible gives us the answer to the being of God. What He is like. And, of course, what He requires of us. But here is the profoundest statement I declare to you in all the Bible. In God, in Him, the true and living God, the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, the God of Holy Scripture, the God who made you, the God who is your lawgiver and your judge, and the God who today would be your Redeemer, should you but believe in Him, trust in Him through His Son Jesus Christ. But here is this very, very profound statement that's given to us in the Bible, that it is in God that we live and that we move and that we have our beings. God, you see, is the author of all things. As evolution would have you to believe, you were not hatched out in some primordial sludge. You are a man, a woman, made in the image of God, not a piece of chemical fizz. And of course, by dint of God's making you in the beginning, making humankind in the beginning, God has a rightful claim, and of course the right and the authority and the power to command us how we should live, how we should have our beings, conduct ourselves in His world as we walk on His earth, live under His sky, and as we, well, partake of all the many and good things that God has afforded us. In God, you live and move and have your being. Now I do declare to you that there is nothing so foolish as what we term today atheism, or if you like, evolutionism, or if you like, secularism, call it what you may. There is nothing so foolish. God, of course, says so also, for He says in the Old Testament, Psalm 14 verse 1, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Not, of course, that they're not smart. Not, that is, that they don't have university degrees and such like. Oh, they may be very clever, but still fools as far as God is concerned. Why? Because, well, they're living in self-denial. They're living in denial of what should be, which is that which is obvious to them, that God is. Because of all the things that God has made, the Bible tells us that man is without excuse for not knowing God, not loving Him, and not trusting Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, the fool, the foolish, it's a foolish notion. One of your modern day atheists, a biologist, man in the United States of America, I can, I guess, to the likes of, you know, the daft Professor Dawkins. He says that because there is no God, he says, you cannot even have a meaningful thought. He says that your life is of no consequence whatsoever. He says all we are is just tiny little clumps of matter. Well, may I suggest to you that him being a biologist and a teacher of such at a very high degree and level in the United States of America in a university, he most certainly does have meaningful thoughts. But of course, if life is meaningless and all that we are is just little clumps of matter, then I wonder to myself, why does the foolish man, why does he bother to teach in a university? Why does he bother to write and produce books? Friends, if we are just lumps of matter, then pray tell me, how do you get an intelligent thought, a meaningful thought out of a clump of matter? How do you get life out of a clump of matter? Well, the Bible tells us, contrary to such thinking, that it is in God, the true and living God, the life-giving God, it is in Him that we live, have life, that is, have motion, and of course to, as the man says, have a being. God is the author of all things, and He's the providential controller of all things. He even, the Bible says, He even appoints the boundaries of the nations where nations live. The history of the world, and every part of it, every detail, even the sparrow that falls to the ground, is all of it, under the governance of God. And all, of course, through His Son, Jesus Christ. But life, you see, you're not just a cosmic accident, you know. You're not just a matter of happenstance. You are a person, a man, a woman, born of a woman, and known to God even when you were still in your mother's womb. Life, you see, is of God. It's from God. And this is why, you see, it's wrong for us, for we, to take human life. Because life is God's to give, and it's God's to take away, not man's. So that makes abortion, that makes euthanasia, that makes all the illicit killing of human beings, young and old alike, by violence, drugs, or any other means, that's a crime, that's a sin against God, who gave us life, motion, and being. Life is from God, life is sacred, and it is our business to protect human life as much as we are able to. Thus the commandment, thou shalt not kill. But friends, pray tell me, how does life itself, I ask you, come from nothing? From nothing to nothing and back to nothing again? No, friends, not at all. You don't get anything out of nothing. In the beginning, God, you see. God was, God always was, always has been, is eternal. He is the instigator, He is the creator of all things. And of course, of human life, your life and my life. And therefore, He has a rightful claim upon you, because He made you, because He gave you life and being. No, yes, ma'am.
Gave me life.
Beg pardon?
The devil gave me life.
Oh, do you think so? No, I don't think so.
He,
madam, is a murderer and was a murderer from the beginning. He's the taker of life.
Well, I don't believe in God. It's a load of crap and shouldn't be preaching it.
Well, I think that you do believe in God, madam. Contrary, you know that God is, ma'am, and you need to repent and believe the gospel.
No, I really.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Repent and believe the gospel, madam. Because God one day will bring you to judgment. And then you will know. You will know that He is the Lord God Almighty. You will stand. And you too. You'll be judged as well. God will judge you in that day. God will judge you in that day. Repent and believe the gospel, madam. Well, you got the breath of life in you, but that's what rebellion means, you see? That's what rebellion means. In God, we live and move and have our beings. And you can shout all you want, but I tell you, in the day that God judges you, you will know that He is the Lord God, the one who gave you life, and the one who gave you motion, and the one who gave you being. It's in Him, you see, that you exist.
Ignore them, they're horrible.
Oh, I know, that's all right.
There's a lot of Christians around here that do believe.
Yeah. Thank you, madam. Thank you for your encouragement.
God.
Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. So you see, friends, it's because God uses this, not just a matter of opinion. You might say, well, that's your opinion, you know, preacher man, you know, you go your way, I'll go mine, you know. It's not for me. Here's the thing, friends, you know, because God made you. God made you. And therefore, you cannot just walk away from this. You cannot. Because He made you, because He gave you life. That life is His. He gave it to you. And one day He will take it. And then you will stand before Him in judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, for their lives to come to an end. After this, the judgment. So friends, God is the life giver, and life is sacred to God. Your life is sacred to God. In God, we live, we have life. You do not get life out of matter. Life does not happen spontaneously. What's the matter with you today, Hanley? You're all rebels today. Come on, people, you know better than that. And here, in your heart, you know that God is, you know I am right. And you know that you're accountable. So I call upon you, friends, believe God's word, He cannot lie. Put your trust in God through His Son, Jesus Christ, the one who gave you life and being. Hello, Jonathan. So friends, it's God, you see, He's the author of life. And that life is very important to God. Meaningless, the professor from Berkeley in the US of A. Meaningless. Everything is meaningless, he says, because there is no God. But listen, friends, he doesn't live his life that way, you know. He obeys the laws in the United States of America, because if he didn't, what would happen to him? The police might shoot him, or he might be banged up in a penitentiary for many years. He doesn't live as though life was meaningless. And neither do you. You may call yourself an evolutionist, say, you know. Well, if you believe in evolution, why don't you live like an evolutionist? Why don't you practice what you preach? Huh? Is it wrong for a man to rape a woman? Huh? Is it wrong for one man to kill another man? Yes, you say. Why? Isn't that just survival of the fittest? Isn't that what you say that you believe? Isn't that evolutionism? Well, why don't you practice it? Huh? Where's this moral standard that you speak of? Eh? Rape is wrong. What about all the rage of womankind because of this pervert in Hollywood, you know, that's been interfering with women? Oh, you see, it's awful, it's terrible. Shock, horror. Everybody's moral all of a sudden. Huh? No, you live in total immorality, you wallow in immorality, in all the filth and cleanness, and all of a sudden this guy with all his sin appears, and all of a sudden you're all very moral. Huh? But where do you get your morality from? Huh? Where do you get the standard from? If you're an evolutionist, nothing matters. Nothing matters. Everything is meaningless if there's no God. But the man whose soul declares this, he has a moral standard. He has to do it. Or he spend his life in jail, or end up dead. One of the two. And you're just the same. You keep the laws of the state. You've got your own moral. You've got your own standard of ethics taught you by your parents or somebody else. Yes, it's wrong to kill, but not because mom and dad says so. Because God says so. That's why. Wrong to lie, not because the school teacher told you so. Wrong to lie because God says it's wrong to lie. Because you're a man, you're a woman made in the image of God. And when you lie, When you do the untruth, you're reflecting the image of Satan, the one who is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. You're not reflecting the image of God that you're supposed to reflect. That's sin, friends. That's sin. So you see, meaningless? Nah, life is not meaningless at all. Life is full of meaning. Life is so important, your life, and the way that you live it, because you will give account to God. You will give account to God. God will judge you for the way that you're living. He might do so in this world in time, but if not in eternity, soon or later, friends, your sins will come home to roost, and you give account to God for them. Your life is not meaningless. And that means, my friends, that you have dignity, madam. Dignity. You're a human being made in the image of God, and you ought to walk through God's world as a man, a woman made in the image of God. Not living in hopelessness and despair. Not obeying your friend, the devil, Satan. But rather obeying God, living. This is the sum of the matter, to obey God, to keep His commandments, because you are made to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. And when you live in hopelessness and despair, when you live in infested and drug addiction and wallowing in filth and uncleanness, that's hardly the dignity. That's hardly the dignity of a human being, a man, a woman created in God's image. No, friends, humankind, human dignity, and the destruction of it. An atheistic frenzy says, well, it's meaningless, it doesn't matter. Well, friends, when you breathe your last, then you will know it matters, because then you will be ushered immediately into the presence of a sin-hating and holy God. And He will dispatch you, I tell you, on the basis of what you have done or not done with His Son, Jesus Christ. If you have not repented and believed the gospel, trusted in God through His Son, Jesus Christ, I tell you, you'll be lost and lost forever. You will know then that your life was not meaningless at all, and that the destruction of human life, all...
Oh, wait a minute. So if I read the Bible right, how can I cancel my sins? That's
saying. Say again.
I don't believe in the Bible, so I won't go to heaven.
That's right. You go to hell. You go to hell. In God, friends, we live and move and have our being. God is the maker, He's the creator of human life. It does not come from matter, it comes from God. God is the one who gave you life. Some 100 years ago, yet another philosopher, he coined the phrase, God is dead. But get this, friends, the philosopher, he's dead, but God's still going. God's not dead, friends, because here's the thing, if He was, you would cease to be. You would cease to live, because God is not only the one who gave you life, but He's the one who sustains your life. God could remove you from this planet, take your life from you, even this very day, if he so pleased. In a moment, in a nanosecond, the youngest, the fittest of you, God could remove you at any given moment. But here's the question, were God to require your soul this very night, then where would you spend eternity? It's an old question, but it's still a very valid question. Where will you spend eternity? Without Jesus, without the forgiveness of your sins, without eternal life in your soul? Well, the answer to that question is plain and simple. Blunt to the point, may I put it. Hell's damnation because of your sin. Because here's the problem, friends. As men and women made in the image of God, we have all of us sinned against the God who gave us life, motion and being. We have sinned against him, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all separated from God because of our iniquities, our rebellion against God. And friends, therefore, accountable to God because of that transgression, that rebellion, that suppression of the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. Oh, you know that God is. You know, you have the knowledge in you, the innate knowledge of God within you. You even clearly understand that God is. God says, but you suppress the knowledge of God, the truth of the knowledge of God. You suppress it in unrighteousness. And that, my friends, is simply your unbelief. You do not want to know God, find a God, for the same reason that a thief does not want to find a policeman. Because you have this corrupt nature in which you were born, in which you were conceived, that you inherited from sinful parents. And so therefore, you come into the world with this bias.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course you can, yeah.
I'm not lying.
Yeah.
That's sinful itself.
Well,
you just landed.
What?
Everybody in the street.
However.
What you just told me is that I was born into sin.
Yeah, that's right. That's not. That's what the Bible teaches. Okay.
Bible, right?
You sure? Have you read it?
I've read it, and I'll tell you in the Easter sentence, right? The New Testament completely contradicts the Old Testament.
Okay.
Because the Old Testament
is all
that, and the New Testament is all the teachings.
Right, yeah.
And the New Testament teaches forgiveness.
Listen. Okay, hang on. Right, okay, yeah. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me.
But it doesn't make it.
That's God's word.
It doesn't make it.
Of course it's right. It's God's word. It's God's word, man.
No, it's not. Because each the New Testament.
Truth.
Right, the New Testament.
Truth.
Right, you can believe it's true, and that's your right.
It's true.
No, that's true. No, you believe it's true. No, that's true.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And that's your right, and I respect.
No, listen.
And I respect your right. I respect your divine right. And it is divine right.
It's true.
To follow whatever faith you want to follow.
It's true, yes. So what's your point?
My point is, the New Testament, which was written by each disciple, correct, teaches a complete contradiction of that.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
It teaches a compassion.
It speaks about the wrath.
And
wrath of God.
Love thy neighbour.
Let me give you some more. You've read the Bible. Really?
As a Christian, yes.
Must have been a long time ago. Listen. Here you go. For the wrath of God. God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's the New Testament, sir. That's the New Testament. So you see, the New Testament, friends, just the same as the Old, the wrath, the judgment of God is replete in the Old New Testament, just as in the Old. Same God wrote the Old Testament as wrote the New Testament. They're no different. Yes, God is compassionate. Yes, God is kind. Yes, God is forgiving. Yes, God is merciful. But He's also the judge of all the earth. He's also the God who is full of wrath, I tell you, with this generation of unbelief. The wickedness of men and women who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God is furious with the unbelief of men and women for their suppression of the truth in unrighteousness. So repent and believe the gospel. What's the matter with you, Hanley, today? All the rebellion's coming out. That's the wickedness. There's the wrath of God. This one with his unbelief and that one with his rebellion. You deny, you reject the truth of God's word. That's unbelief. That's unbelief, friends. And you do not believe the testimony of God, the record of God. You question it. You call God a liar. And God will bring you to judgment for that. So friends, I tell you the truth. Am I your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth in love, in order that God may grant you repentance and faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that you might have life in His name, that you might be delivered from the law of sin and death, and that you might have eternal life and live in obedience to God, and one day when you depart this world, go to heaven. Friends, why? I ask you the question, in God, we live and move and have our being. Motion. Why is there change? Why is there decay? Is that meaningless too? Why are you always moving forward? Why is there such a thing as motion? Why doesn't everything just stay as it is? Because these things, along with life and being, they come from God. The answer to all the philosophic questions of the age, the law of inertia, the law of gravity. Where do these laws come from? You don't get laws out of matter. Matter does not produce anything. Friends, the laws of nature, the law of love, the law of chemistry, the law of mathematics, where do you get these laws from? Laws come from an intelligent mind, and that mind is the mind of God. Evolution cannot produce squat, neither life, nor motion, nor being. And you know that evolution is a lie. You know it. It's just something that the devil has handed to you on a plate to feed your unbelief, your godlessness, your suppression of the truth. And don't be shouting at me, science, 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 because there is not one ounce of scientific justification for evolution. Not one ounce. So friends, repent of your evolutionary thinking. Repent of your unbelief. All, every single one of us, for life, motion and being, we are dependent upon God, the God who created everything in the beginning, the God who sustains everything, and the God who has your life and even your next breath in the palm of His hand. His to give and His to take away. And when He takes it away, friends, you need to be sure that you're right with Him. You need to be sure you're on His smiling side. You need to be sure that you've gotten rid of your sin before your sin gets rid of you. Repent and believe the gospel, says Jesus. Repent of your sin, that is. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's the thoughts that's the problem. It's out of the thoughts, it's out of the heart, come evil thoughts of evolution, idolatrous religion, murder, sexual immorality, all the filth and squalor of human sin. It comes out of the heart. That's where it begins. It's the heart that's the problem, and the heart must be changed. And religion will not change your heart. Evolution will not change your heart. Only my gospel will do that. The gospel is still the power of God, Almighty God, who gave His life and motion and being. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. All your modern technology, your phones and computers, and all the garbage that you produce, you still cannot live with your fellow man. Still killing and slaughtering one another. You still cannot live with yourselves. You cannot live without my gospel. Oh, you can exist, but you cannot live. Only God can give you life.
You say men slaughtered God.
What?
Men slaughtered God.
Yeah. Don't they just?
Yeah, half those rules are in the name of God, half those rules are to do with religion.
You think so? Can I give you an example? I'm just one century, yeah? Yeah? World War Two, 50 million. Anxi Rebellion, 33 million. Mongol Conquest, 30 million. Manchuria Conquest, 25 million. Taiping Rebellion, 70 million. World War One, 15 million. Timur Reconquest, 15 million. Russian Civil War, 5 million. Second Congo War, 3.8 million. Total, 260 million people killed in the name of godlessness. Not one of these were religious wars. Not one of them. Not one of them. 269 million. That's historical fact.
Okay, where's the evidence of God?
Pardon?
Where's the evidence of God?
What is your history? What, of God?
Yeah, of God.
You don't need evidence, sir.
Why?
Because you know that God is.
How do I?
Pardon?
If God is real.
You have an innate knowledge of God.
If He's real, why does He take lives of innocent children? If He can take away lives,
sin.
Why innocent children?
Sin. Sin. Sin.
Children sin.
Sin come into the world, and death because of sin. Yeah?
So a child is a sin.
Yes.
How is a child?
Born in sin, conceived in sin. Sin before it even leaves its mother's womb.
How can a God be sin?
Pardon? God's not sin, no. Pardon? Because it's conceived in sin.
How is it conceived in sin?
Because you get a child, yeah? You're a sinner. You get a child. You produce a child in your own likeness.
So carrying on human life is a sin.
Eh?
Carrying on human life is a sin.
You pass it on. You pass it on, yes. You pass it on.
So I sin. If I have a kid,
yeah, it'll be a sinner. It'll be a sinner.
Why not take my life?
It'll be a sinner. Because God gives you the opportunity of being saved, of having your sin treated.
Oh, so I can be saved, but a child can't.
Oh, yes, a child can. Yeah.
So why?
Well, you get saved, and instead of teaching your child to be godless, you teach your child to be godly.
Yet there's so many people who live who are godless anyway.
That's right.
Yes,
and they're going to be judged.
They're not going to take them.
They're going to be judged. Oh, they will be. Oh, they will be.
Okay.
They will be. They'll die just like you, and they'll go to a lost eternity. They'll be damned forever.
A lost.
If they don't believe the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. No. What God says, and I'll take His word over yours any day of the week.
Since when did God say that?
Huh? In the Bible. It's in the Bible.
That's not.
You can't write this book. You can't write this book. This book is a supernatural false swearing, or the conversation ends.
Alright, I apologize.
Okay, right. Thank you. Right. It's God's book. God, every word of it is breathed out by God.
How?
Pardon?
How?
Divinely inspired. Yeah. Self-authenticating, self-attesting. Word of God.
Evolution.
If you won't believe the word of God, you won't, no matter what evidence I give you, even if somebody was to be raised from the dead, you still won't. If you won't believe the Bible, you won't believe at all, sir. And if you don't believe, sir, you are lost. You are lost.
And I implore you
to repent and believe the gospel, sir.
I'm not being believing in it.
Well, then you're lost, and you stay lost.
You're children, man.
You're lost, and you stay lost. He made them. He made them.
Yeah, he made them.
If you made something, haven't you got the right to do with it as you choose? If you made yourself a little wooden table, and you destroyed it, would I say to you, you're a wicked, evil man? You went and destroyed that table. Haven't you got the right? You made it. Haven't you got the right to destroy it or to keep it?
Not when you've given it back.
Huh?
No.
So you do acknowledge that God, you do acknowledge then that God's the giver of life.
No, if he
oh, you don't.
That
well, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
If I gave
life, he did. It's his to take. It's his to take.
You saying if I
life is God's to give and it's his to take away. Yeah. Everybody dies, sir.
Yeah,
everybody dies. It's appointed unto men once to die. Everybody dies, yeah? Some people will die. Me, I'm nearly 74. I don't know how long I've got left. Some people don't even get past 17, yeah? Some people don't even get past infancy. Everybody's going to die. Sooner or later, by some means, it might be cancer, it might be AIDS, it might be a gunslinger, it might be a terrorist. Everybody dies. It's a fight of life. Everybody dies.
Because of sin.
Pun? Oh, they do. Sin is the root cause, friends. Sin came into the world by one man, and as a result of that, death passed upon all men. The wages of sin is death.
Forgiven sin.
Death.
That's what Jesus said.
When you repent and believe the gospel, sir. If you repent and believe the gospel, sir. No, whatever. Repent and believe the gospel.
In the Catholic Church, turn you away
because. Well, there's no good going to the Catholic Church. There's no salvation there. It's not a church. Roman Catholic. It's not a church. No, it can't. The church is a gathered people of God who have repented. Who have repented and believed the gospel, sir. Yeah, and that's not Roman Catholic. Roman Catholicism, like Islam, is idolatrous religion. No, sir, you're wrong. Oh, priests, yeah.
No, priests, vicars, nuns, they all sin.
Do they?
Of course, everybody sins.
There you go then. So you need to repent and believe the gospel, sir.
I believe it, but just because I sin.
Well, it doesn't sound like it to me, sir. You sound like a rebel to me, sir. You sound like a rebel to me. Unless you repent, yes, Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives, no question about it. There is mercy with God. There is forgiveness with God. That's the heart of the gospel, friend. That he may be feared, but you got to repent. You
got
to repent and believe the gospel. There's no forgiveness without repentance, without you forsake the world, the devil, and your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ. In true and saving faith, there is no forgiveness. Without repentance and without faith in the gospel that I declare to you here this afternoon. So I've forgotten where I was now. Yeah, life, motion, and being. If there ever was a time when there was nothing, there would be nothing now. Yeah. If ever there was a time that there was nothing, there would be nothing now. Yeah? But there never has been a time when there has been nothing. Because even before creation, God was, eternally, always was. And He brought into being, created the universe, and made mankind. You don't get nothing out of nothing. Even Dashiell Dawkins agrees with that. Come on, people. Time to repent and believe the gospel. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for your encouragement. So you see, you don't, friends, you don't, there's none of us. You don't possess the power to maintain our being, your being, you know? God smiles. I said you sounded like one,
sir.
We're all rebels, sir. You're not agreeing with God's testimony. No, you're not. God says we're all rebels. And you're saying you're not a rebel. You're disagreeing with God. No, you're not right with God. Your heart's not right with God, sir. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, sir. You don't have the power, you know, to maintain your being. That's with God. He snuffs your life out in a second if He so wish. You haven't got the power in you. You know? What if a person, say, dying of cancer or something? Tragic though that is. They don't want to die, you know? And they're pleading somehow, doctor, you know? Save me, do something. Well, I don't want to die.
What else can say?
But it's not in their power. It's not in their power to maintain their life.
Because you're ignorant.
You're a rebel, sir.
You're a rebel.
You're a sinner. You're a wicked sinner. And you need to repent and believe the gospel, sir. Repent and believe the gospel, sir. It's the only answer. Only way back to God from sin's dark path. You don't have the power to create. And you don't have the power to sustain your being. In God, we live and move and have our being.
That's why people turn away from the
church. In God and in God alone, we declare the truth to you as it is in Jesus. The love of God in Jesus Christ for sinners, for rebels, for God so loved the world, a world of ruined, lost sinners, rebels. Christ, the Bible tells us, died for His enemies. While we were still enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, the amazing, amazing love of God in Jesus Christ for those who will repent and believe the gospel, the good news, God's salvation. And I tell you, it's good news, friends, for wicked sinners, for those with broken hearts, for those with sorrowful hearts, who know that they've offended God, who know that they've broken God's law, who have not lived as they ought to have done. Oh, friends, for you there is hope, for you there is a message of salvation, if you would but turn. Why will you die, saith the Lord? I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should live eternally through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. Oh, He's lovely. He's wonderful. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's Jesus, the Son of God. And He came and lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead so that you might have eternal life in His name. Never, never die. But you gotta believe. You gotta believe, you gotta confess with the mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. You gotta believe with your heart, friends, the gospel, the good news, the death and resurrection of the Son of God who came into the world not to make men religious. God forbid anybody become religious because I'm here today. But friends, if you believe the gospel, That you believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ, in His death and resurrection, and eternal life will be yours. Oh, repent and believe the gospel. Repent, says Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, and because you cannot enter the kingdom of God's grace, love, and power unless you repent, unless you believe the gospel. So I call upon you, command you, the words of the King Himself, Jesus, the Christ of God, Lord and Prince, Jesus, repent ye and believe the gospel. Hanley, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like a copy of God's Word offered to you freely? Entire New Testament offered to you freely. Yours take without cost or consequence, without any terms or conditions to you. Yours to freely take. You'd like one, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, precious God-given souls.
Yes.
Thanks, Andrew.
Well,
sorry? Yeah?